thinking about developing, working on developing a curriculum, which I think is important, a curriculum that deals with the idea of what I call Am Yisrael. What does it mean to be a part of Am Yisrael? Because we learn all these things in a very disjointed way, but the sense of the idea of having a core identity, that I'm a member of an Am, and that has ramifications both on a national level and on a personal religious level, is something that's something that people are aware of, sort of in the back of their head, in a sense, but not consciously aware of. I think I'll sort of explain. Hi. When you talk about identity, when we think about identity, so if I were to ask you, what are you? You would say?
Jewish.
Okay. If I would have asked you 5 years ago, what you would have said?
I was still Jewish, but I didn't have that tell that from background.
Okay.
If I had been raised and born and raised in America, mm-hmm. I would have said American.
Right. Interesting. Okay. What's the difference between, and it's a fascinating issue of identity. What's interesting, you don't say I'm Israeli. It's interesting. Okay.
No.
Right. You would have said I'm American. Would you have seen the contradictory between Jewish and American?
In America, they are American first and Jewish.
No, I didn't ask that question. I didn't say which is first. Would you have seen a contradiction between...
I can't answer that because I was raised in South Africa.
It doesn't matter. So you're South African and Jewish, right?
I'm South African.
Right, but did you see a contradiction between being Jewish and South African?
No.
Why not? Why not? And is that correct?
Would you? But I still,
The question is why not? Why don't you see... What's the answer to that question? You still wouldn't say Israeli. Right, because you think of Israeli as cultural, not as national. Right? Even though we are Israelis, all of us here are Israelis, but we don't think of ourselves as Israelis. We think of ourselves, I don't know what we think of ourselves as.
I'll never think of myself as Israeli.
Even though you are. How ironic is that?
It also says I am, but also competition, it also says I'm South African.
These issues of identity is so fascinating. They go very, very deep. They're very, very fundamental to who we are as people and how we act. Let's go back to my question.
Race.
I said culture, I asked you what you are.
Or identity. I'm just saying.
I think my first word would be Jewish.
Okay, so we'll go back to my question, which you haven't yet answered. Why did you not see a contradiction between Jewish and South African?
Because why would they be?
Yeah. They're not mutually exclusive.
Because, let's define.
One's a country.
Very good. One's a religion and one's a country. I'm here to challenge this curriculum that I want to develop is designed to challenge that core question. Is that really what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be a religion? What's
we're
a religion?
Nation.
Oh.
We're a nation.
We are?
We are a nation.
It's not a criticism, it's a fact. Except how many people identify themselves as Jewish by nationality?
I think if you're going to go that, then you have to say that, okay, while we're living in Israel, there are so many things about Israel that is not consistent with the Jewish nation.
Okay, correct. So agreed.
Until Israel behaves like they should, I think you will have that dichotomy between I'm Jewish and I'm American, I'm Jewish and I'm South African, I'm Jewish and I'm Israeli. Because it's not one and the same.
You think it's Israel's fault?
I never blame. It's the people within. I mean, a nation is made up of its people.
Correct.
And while we can relate and love and reach out and do all those other things, there are certain things that we reject and don't accept and don't identify with.
But that doesn't bother you when you call yourself American.
I mean,
South Africa, whatever you call yourself. When I call myself American.
So no, that's my
There's certain things about America I don't like or agree with either.
I call myself Jewish. If you ask me, you say to me, what are you? I'll say I'm Jewish. If you say to me, where are you from? I'll say South Africa, America, whatever. But the essence of
you wouldn't say I'm South African.
No. Not unless somebody's asking me. I always said, it was one of the hardest things for me when I moved to America and people say, oh, you know, what are you? And I would say Jewish. It took me a long time for them to realize that, no, they're not asking me about that. They want to know if I'm South African.
Mm-hmm.
Never had that question, what are you?
You never had that question?
What are you?
You never asked yourself that question?
No, I've never been asked that question, what am I?
That we ask you. Right. Even a religious Israeli would never say I'm Jewish. Oh, non-religious Israeli for sure would say they're Israeli. Right, if you ask yourself...
But it's also, it's interesting, in Parshas Noach, when you look at the Midrash, it talks about, around when they're talking about Birkas HaKohanim, mm-hmm. about Hakaras HaTov towards the place where you were born, and how Mary and I were talking about that you always have an affiliation or connection to your hometown, your home place.
Right.
Something that draws you back. So there is, you know, and that might be why the Israelis don't separate. There was never a separation for them. They were never forced to consider I'm this and I'm this.
Which is my point entirely. I think that's why this curriculum is such a, it's like a passion of mine now. Problem is going to take years to develop, but this idea of identity, especially as what I would call a, you know, diaspora Jews, it goes to the heart of your identity, who you are, how do you see yourself, what are you? Even if nobody ever asks you, we ask ourselves that question all the time, because it leads
they
us.
They asked me in the airport, which I needed to give them a passport.
Yeah.
So I said, American or Israeli? They said, whichever you want. Leaving America.
Yeah.
So I handed over, I said, you know, first I was, because we were stopping in Rome, first I said to myself, okay, I'll hand over American passports, because American citizens are always treated well in other countries. And then I said, you know what? I don't care about that. I'm, like, I want my people to take care of me if, God forbid, something happens. So I took back all the American passports and I gave them all the Israeli passports.
Oh, watershed moment.
No, but then it was a problem because my Israeli passport has my Hebrew name and my ticket was in my English name. So my ticket was the American passport and their tickets were all the Israeli.
See, what's fascinating is when you start
but
to think about
conscious,
it, the more you think about it, the more you realize to what degree this subtle question that you never ask
birthright.
Yourself
birthright.
Goes to the heart of birth.
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be that come and connect with your Jewish your identity in Israel.
See, but what you just said is not what I said, and it's very important to understand that.
I said Jewish identity.
That's right. Right.
You're saying Jewish and Israeli are one and the same.
I'm not saying that they are. They're not. I'm saying that they were always intended to be, and it's very fascinating. You say that Israelis don't see any distinction between the two. Identify themselves as Israeli. They don't see themselves as Jewish. And the reason I say this is because that's the way it was supposed to be.
I think it would depend. I mean, if you're asking the Jews in the Sharon, do you think they're
going
to
say Israeli?
No, they'll
Jewish.
Say Jewish.
Well, or American. Okay? Is that really what we're supposed
to... I think it goes back to whether or not you recognize the founding of the state. Also, it's connected with it.
Okay, so that this discussion, obviously, I'm going to show you, is obvious, it's explicit in the Torah in like a zillion different places. There is nowhere in the Torah that says that we're supposed to be a religion. It's not. We're not a religion.
We're a nation.
We're a nation. And a nation that has, just like any other nation, laws, statutes, requirements, etc., etc. Except our nation, our national laws, are not simply for the betterment of the people and the ability for each person to express themselves, but they are for a different purpose entirely. And therefore, our laws, our national laws, are going to have different focus and different emphasis. And when you think about it that way, you start to understand some of the challenges, some of the uniqueness of the national identity of the Jewish people, but also some of the challenges inherent in it, and why we got caught up the way we got caught up. I think it's just when you wrap your head around it, I think that's a lot of our problem. A lot of the problem of the Jewish people goes to this idea of core identity. And I'm talking about even religious people. It relates to this idea of identity. People have a very confusing idea of identity. Like, I think that, you know, our kids, the thing that motivates me about this curriculum is I think that our kids, not our children, the children of the Jewish communities in the diaspora, they're very confused about the sense of identity today.
Don't say not our children.
Our children.
Remember,
too.
I told you, I was sitting in a Bagrut. On history,
yeah.
And last year, and a student calls me over and he says, Amara, Zionism is the establishment of the State of Israel?
In the
he's asking
Bagrut.
Me. Well, yeah. It wasn't the Bagrut, it was the pre-Bagrut, but he's like clarifying with me how to define Zionism. Like, is that what Zionism is? So it was
yeah.
An Israeli 11th grade...
Yeah.
Who has gone through the entire,
the entire education
system, the religious education system.
Okay, so we're going to do this. If it doesn't drive you crazy through the year, I'm focusing on this quite a bit, so I'm going to point it out as you go through it.
And even if it does, you'll still do it.
That's
anyway.
True. Perakavav. Vayon Kitavo Perakavav. Just as a way of short introduction, Kitavo begins with what's called Mikra Bikurim, Arami Obeid Avi, which is actually the basis for the center of Pesach. Okay, the Mikra Bikurim, bringing the Bikurim, and then you have to tell sort of the mini story of Am Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and that's why I'm bringing this Bikurim, because of Mitzrayim, God took us out of Egypt, and therefore we're so thankful, and that's why I'm giving you these first fruits. That's the first thing, and then there's something called Vidurim Ma'aser. At the end of the third year, in the sixth year, you have to take all of that. You can't hoard all your Ma'aser, you have to, whatever you kept in the house, you have to go give it away, Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Ani, Ma'aser Sheni, and you have to do what's called Bi'ur Ma'asrat. Okay, you have to get rid of the Ma'aser and to Vidui Ma'aser and confess. Explicitly state, say out loud, that I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Then we come to Perek Kafav, Pasuk Tet Zayin. Kafav Tet Zayin. Says Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to read the chapter, point out a couple of the questions, and then we'll, of course, do them with our shame. Hayom Hazeh. On this day, Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha La'asot Et HaChukim Ha'ele Bet HaMishpatim. The Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and these laws and statutes. V'shamarta v'asita otam v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. You should guard them and you should do them with all of your heart and with all your soul. Pasuk Yudzai. Et Hashem emarta hayom lihiyod lecha le'elohim v'lalecha bidrachav v'lishmor chukav u'mitzvatav u'mishpatav v'lishmor v'kolo. Okay. It is a tricky word to translate, as Rashi says. God he'emarta. What's the root of the word? Obviously, amar. He'emarta. We did this last year.
Yeah.
So we're how do you know we didn't do it 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
That time,
maybe using
blue before.
Oh, blue. He'emarta.
You said translate. Rashi just translated it. Distinguished or set apart.
Correct. Very good. We must have done this before. Okay? Set aside, but from the word emor, though it is emor, how do we set things aside? By saying, we designate, right? The words have value. Set you aside today, well, since you quoted Rashi, look at Rashi for a second, emarta, Rashi says a very fascinating thing. En lahem ed mochiach bamikra. Ed mochiach, Rashi says very often, if you want to know what a word means, so what you do is, if you don't know, you find another example in the Tanakh, and you see what it means in that context. There's only one problem.
There ain't no other one.
And then Eid Mochiach. There is no other Eid Mochiach indicating testifier, testimony. The Li Nire says Lashon Hafrasha Behavdala, separating and setting aside. That's why Rashi, that's why you have it. Okay, Hivdalta Lacham Elohe Zachar. Anybody recognize these words He and Marta from the Yamim Darayim since we're in Elo? Anybody recognize this? So there's a very beautiful piyut we say on Yom Kippur. Anu amecha yata el, okay, right? The last of those, Anu nachla techa, Anu raya techa, roenu. The last one we say is Anu ma'amirecha ve'ata ma'amireinu. We are ma'amirecha. That is right out of this pasuk. Ma'amirecha. We are those who have been ma'amirecha, spoken for. Okay, that's how we would say it in today's day and age. We are spoken for by you. Va'ata ma'amireinu, and you are spoken for by us. Okay, there's a certain intimacy to it in a positive sense. He'emarta. Okay, pasuk yudche. Hashem he'emircha hayom lalechet liot lo la'am segula, to be for him am segula. I'll just point this out. This appears over and over again. To be a treasured nation. And that, of course, we all know what that means to be a treasured nation, don't we? You're laughing? We have no idea what it means to be a treasured nation. What does it mean? V'lishmor kol mitzvotav.
We know we're treasured so much that everybody else wants a piece of us.
That's right. U'letitcha elyon al kol hagoyim asher asa l'tehila u'leshem u'letifaret. And to place you elyon. Elyon?
Above.
All the other nations that he has made for praise and for a name, uletif aret.
Glory.
And for glory. V'liyotcha am kadosh l'Hashem Elokecha kasher diber. And to be a holy nation to the Lord your God as he has spoken.
It's so elitist.
What?
Uletifcha elyon al kol hagoyim. It's quite elitist.
What?
Why, or you're okay with it?
I'm fine.
No, but I'm saying it is elitist.
Yeah. say why, I said quite.
Oh, quite,
it's
okay.
It's more than quite, it's quite explicit.
You're okay with it to be an elitist?
I mean, if God said so.
Does it say comment at the end?
Very good. Does it say we're supposed to be Elyon, best, most important?
Just in charge of?
Above? What does it mean, Elyon, in charge of?
Yeah, what's that?
It could mean to set an example. It could mean to that we have a higher expectations of us because we have the Torah. We know how to be.
Correct. So this is
glory.
What?
Glory.
Hila, shame, vitiferet.
By the way that we behave. Oh, by the way we conduct
very good,
ourselves.
Very good. And this, I think, is
but that's
correct.
Okay.
Right. It's not only okay, it's important, it's critical.
Yeah.
It's critical. Meaning, it's not, well, you could say, Elyon is elitist, but it's elitist in a sense of responsibility and obligation as well. There's nothing wrong with saying you're supposed to be the best if the best requires you to live up to a certain standard, and then by that standard, do something with that. Right? To make you the best, to make you exalted. In order to do something. And this is actually something that we have to start thinking about. You know, you mentioned it before, the idea that we don't act the way we're supposed to act as a nation. That's true. But the way we're supposed to act is for a reason. Why? What are we here for? What are we put here for? You know, and the Jewish people, we focus so much inward. I would say klape pnim. Our fights are inward fights. Our arguments are inward fights.
Unfortunately, displayed to the whole world.
What's that?
Unfortunately, displayed to the whole world. Not necessarily of our own choosing.
No.
But
of our own choosing.
No, I'm saying we don't necessarily choose to have that whole thing that happened in Beit Shemesh last year displayed to the whole world. Mm-hmm. But the world took it as an opportunity to stick our noses in the mud and say, oh, look at
the,
you know.
I wouldn't say the whole world really cares what happens in Beit Shemesh per se.
No, but look how those Jews are behaving. It's not that they cared about it. It was an opportunity for the world to do the opposite to us, instead of us being an example into the nation and behaving. And on the other hand, there was this incident with the Israeli soccer team when they played against Ukraine. Now that was behaving as a light unto the nations. Where it was raining and all the soccer
you
players.
You saw this? I did see this.
All these kids, the Ukrainian kids, were on the soccer fields.
They had the national anthems.
And it started pouring with rain, and all the Israeli soccer players took off their trainers, their jackets, and put it around the kids to keep them warm. Whereas the Ukrainian team just ignored the fact that it was raining and stood and watched the kids freeze. And it was all over all kinds of newspapers about this is how human beings should behave.
It was a big deal. In Ukraine, they said in Russia and the Ukraine, they were all wondering, why is it that the Israelis care more about our children than we care about our children? That was very recently. Very recently.
So that was behaving, and that's our inner. That's our inner coming out.
Whoa! One second. You cannot have it both ways. I am sorry, Karen. You can't say on the one hand we don't act like the people we're supposed to act, and then say, oh, but sometimes we do.
But we can't have it both ways. We do it both ways because we're not angels and we're not perfect. And that we do have some opportunities and rise up to those opportunities.
What does it say about us that specifically it was the secular, non-religious at all Israeli soccer team that represents us in a positive way? What? Ostensibly they do. I don't know if they were that day. I doubt they were doing it that day.
They just displayed love and care for their fellow human beings.
Right.
Which I do believe is what we're supposed to be. We have to. The kids vote.
No, it's natural. It's spontaneous.
That was Ben Adam LaChavera.
Okay. Interestingly also, what's important and what's great to point out about that example, and by the way, when we think about this idea is so pervasive because it's always in the news, it's always everywhere. They don't represent the Jewish people, I'm Jewish. Why do they have anything to do with me?
I don't agree with you.
It was the Israeli soccer team.
Not the Jewish soccer team.
Correct. My point is, in order to be, in order to be the light of what?
I don't think the non-Jews differentiate. They're Jewish.
We differentiate.
No, that's exactly the point.
If they're anti-Semitic or anti-Israel, it's the same thing.
In order to be the light to the nations, it has to be the Israeli soccer team. It has to be the Israeli national. Let me just understand. It has to be the Israeli national soccer team, as opposed to some JCC club from somewhere. Because because we don't have the ability to influence. We don't have the ability to represent ourselves as a people to the other nations until we're a nation ourselves.
But that's not saying the British soccer team isn't representing the Christians.
This is the titcha elyon. Our nation is by definition different than every other nation. In that, every other nation, Britain is not a religious nation. Even Iran doesn't represent Islam. There is no, name another nation that
but
represents.
Israel isn't a religious nation, country.
We're reading the Torah, right? Titcha elyon al kol hagoyim asher asa. That's why these psukim are. Understand, the state of Israel was not created in order that we should have a soccer team. It was created in order that our soccer team should be l'tehila u'l'shem u'l'tifaret.
In theory.
In practice.
But ipso facto,
what?
That was not the case.
You said the state of Israel was created.
I'm talking about created by God, not by the people.
But you said the state.
Right, so I don't think you can say state and nation interchangeably at this moment in time.
Originally,
you have to.
It was supposed to be.
I don't think you can.
Because that's what it was, and that's what it will be. We're talking about.
You have a God purpose for the establishment of the state of Israel, and you have the people purpose for establishing the state of Israel. So he's saying this is the God purpose for the state of Israel. Maybe in practice, ipso facto, it doesn't.
It's not
happen
there. We'll get there.
Because the people are not yet in tune to the God purpose, but that's objectively perhaps.
We're not there, but that's what it is. That's what it's there for.
Until we were thrown out, this is how it was supposed to be. Once we were thrown out, things changed.
Correct. I would agree totally. Why did things change?
Because we were no longer connected to our roots, to our country.
And therefore?
Now we were separated,
and therefore?
We can no longer be these things.
Correct. We could no longer be a nation. What were we? The greatness of Chazal is as it somehow managed to take what was a nationality and translate it in such a way as to maintain it. And this is also one of the miracles of the Jewish people. Maintain it even though we weren't a nation. The challenge that we have to get back to today is to try to rethink our identity in such a way. We've been so long in exile, we've been so long without these core elements of our of identity, of who we belong to, of what we're supposed to be. That maybe Israelis don't have this dichotomy. They don't see a distinction, especially our religious Israelis. Whereas we do. And that's something that we're missing, something that we have to get back. And that's exactly the idea. The only way you can be Elyon is if you're an Am. To be a nation, Elyon and Kohim, Litihila Lashem Litifaret. Uliotcha Am Kadosh Lashem Elokecha, Kaasher Diber. Right? You are the only nation in the world that is, on the one hand, a nation, and on the other hand, also represents. And by the way, this is going to come to a head sooner or later. This is also a topic. This idea of we are different. We are the only nation in the world that, by definition, requires a certain ethnic identity. Name me another nation. France, Angola, Syria, Russia, United States. That's a big criticism of Israel today. That ethnicity doesn't matter in the world today. Religion shouldn't matter in the world today. We're the only country in the world that, by definition, grants citizenship to people of a certain ethnicity. Naturally.
No, I was going to say, I have a hard time with the word ethnicity, because I think, as it's sociologically defined, Israel doesn't say you have to be of a certain ethnicity.
Of course you do, by birth. It's birth.
It's religion.
It's not religion. It's birth.
Define religion. Is it where you come from, like who your parents are, your grandparents are, or is it how you're practicing?
Ethnicity is birth, blood. We allow citizenship by blood. When you came to the state of Israel, you said, I am a blood Jew. My mother gave birth to me. I'm Jewish. I have a right to live here.
You
know what they said?
You
know what they said? You know what they said? Come on in. You can convert. If you convert, are you allowed to make Aliyah? Are you accepted? The answer is yes.
Automatically.
That's a little bit confusing because they'll ask me the next question.
Then it's not blood related.
Well, it's not blood related, but you'll say, well, who decides? Meaning, even the idea, she says, what if you convert? So who has the right? Name me another country where a religious.
The sociological definition, it doesn't fit the sociological.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
It's a religious definition.
the definition of religion.
It's A and B, both of which are considered an anathema. What if you went to America and say, "Well, I'm a Protestant, so you have to accept me"?
They would say. They would only accept you if you said, "I'm a Protestant in a Catholic community, and I'm afraid for my life." Then they would offer you asylum.
Again, exactly the point. So they are asylum based on freedom, based on ideals, where we're based on religious theology and birth.
But not ethnicity, because it doesn't matter where you come from, you know, whether you're Caucasian or black or Asian.
So I want to get into, you're going to see on a number of different examples, this idea of our relationship. So what's our relationship supposed to be with these nations? If we're supposed to influence them, if we're supposed to be a light unto the nations, then we're supposed to interact with them, aren't we? Are we supposed to interact with them? Right. The way I wrote it was very interesting. I called it our nuanced relationship to the world. How can you be a light unto the nations if we're supposed to be separate? On the other hand, if we're not separate, we disappear. So, which is it supposed to be? So we're going to see...
Gam for gam.
Gam for gam. How do you do both? That's part of the problem. Look at Rambam. Look at what we said. L'titcha elyon al kol ha'aretz. Rashi. One second. Do I have Rashi? No. One second. Rambam. Look at the Rambam for a second. Those of you who have Rambam on your text...
Rambam is an elitist.
What? He's an elitist?
A little bit.
Of course he is. Yeah. Except, of course, Rambam, why couldn't... The problem with reading all of these parshanim, by the way, what's the problem with reading all of these parshanim the way I want to read this section of the Torah?
This is all before the state of Israel.
They're all medieval.
Except Ramban was so super Zionist.
Right? Except he was super Zionist from a certain perspective.
Yes. Correct.
What perspective? When did Ramban live? Very, very critical.
The Spanish Inquisition.
Correct. He lived in a time of unbelievable persecution.
He lived before the Spanish.
Where did he end up?
In Israel.
Why?
Because he won the debate, but he lost the debate.
And
they said, get out.
Right. They said, get out. How can you be a light to the nations when everyone is telling you you're nothing? You have to keep that in mind. So he has these dreams. I would never have the gall to think what I think if I didn't live where I live in the time that I live. But thank God I do, because remember, when Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to them, this is what he wanted them to think. Right. Also remember, the Jewish people for the past 40 years have been living in an incubator that we call the Sinai Desert. Right? They've been sort of building themselves, incubating themselves, growing and growing. They're about to be hatched. They're about to turn it into practice in the real world. Now they're going to interact with the other nations. They've had nothing to do with anyone for such a long period of time. Look at Rabban a second. U'letitcha elyon al kol agoyim esher asa letihila. What does that mean? Says Ramban, "Shiyehalelucha kol amei haaretz," that all the nations of the world should praise you. "Bihiyot Hashem karov b'chol karecha elav." You can call God. You can reach out to God. God is with you. They're going to see that God is with you. That's l'tehila for praise. "U'l'shem," as a nation, "Sheitelech Hashem b'goyim b'hadro asher sam alecha ki ta'ata na'ale al kulan." If God is upon you, they're going to see God upon you, and they're going to say, "Oh, that's God's nation." Ule tiferet, for glory. By the way, I wouldn't even know what that means. Anybody know what glory means? What is splendor? Ramban. We don't know. Nobody knows what it means. These are words that have no meaning until you translate them. Until you give them meaning. Ule tiferet. Ki titpa'er aleihem. You will be splendorous upon them. Is that how you translate it? Over them, la'asot bahem kol asher tachpots. You could do to them anything that you desire. Tigzor omer v'yakam lach. You will decree and say, and it will be upheld. Etc. etc. I'm skipping a little bit. L'diotcha am kadosh l'davka bo basof. To cling to God basof in the end. That's what he says in the afterlife. Basof, in the end, I guess. What does it mean? What does it mean that God will be Elyon? Does it mean that they'll look too up to us, or that we will dominate over them? Will we look up to us? Again, according to Ramban, will they look up to us, or will we dominate over them? Both, says Ramban.
Yeah.
On the one hand, they'll look up to us. On the other hand, we can boss them around. Tell them what to do. Right? Are we there yet? Are we there yet, Karen?
No.
No. They tell us what to do.
Why?
Why is that? Why is it the opposite? You should answer this question easily. You should answer this question easily. Why do they tell us what to do and not the other way around?
Because we haven't accepted our obligation.
Correct. We don't do what we're supposed to do. So therefore, it's not obvious that God is with us. So who are you? We didn't tell anybody else what to do. But at least we're in the conversation.
And you see what happened a couple weeks ago when Benjamin and Netanyahu went to Poland? They offered him kosher food. And he said, no, I'm fine with regular food. Like, to me, that was the ultimate display of how we're not setting us outside and holding to that.
It'd be nice if you had kosher food. Begin used to eat kosher
food. It's not Menachem Begin.
Right.
No, but saying like it was offered to him. To offer it and to say no is different than to...
No, but he was making a point that Israel is not a religious state, and he, as a representative of Israel, doesn't have to comply to the religion.
Then he got up in the Knesset.
Oh, that was amazing.
I mean, that was amazing.
When the Arab the guy Arab said...
No. See, but this is exactly my, point.
That's
whole talk. This is exactly my point. My point is, and this is the my core point, in the Torah, there is no distinction between... Yeah, they're big. In the Torah, there's no point, there's no distinction between those two things. Wait. He's there still?
Okay.
Yes. In the Torah, there is no distinction between those two things. On the one hand, we have too many Jews that think kashrut is important, and we have too many Jews that think we are here first, and we're going to be here in the end, and that's all that's important. We need to get to a place where those two things come together. We will get to a place. That's our ultimate destiny, where those two things come together. Because when they come together, ultimately, then we will glorify the name of God. The same will be
imperative. We're heading there. I think we're making strides.
I think we're making strides as well. I really do. It's a plan. No, absolutely.
I think as much as we go in one direction, we go in the other direction too.
What do you mean? You think it's going to happen like tomorrow?
Well, I see things like taking things that are specifically said in the Torah are forbidden, and making Israel like the place to do these things comfortably in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
They're happening simultaneously, so
okay, I chose to focus on the...
Yes, okay. Says the Midrash.
Sorry.
The Tila u'l'shem u'tifaret shiyu omot ha'olam mishtabchim becha u'mit'avim l'shimushcha. That the nations of the world will praise you and desire to serve you. But they will say, this is the holy nation. It's not that you will have to, you will tell them what to do, you'll impose your will upon them. It's that they're going to say, you're the holy nation, you're God's people.
Yeah, the Navi's filled with that.
Right? The Navi is, it's exactly right, the Navi's filled with that. Does that exist today? Where are you from? No, you're from the South, Atlanta? Are people like that today?
Well, I lived in the Bible Belt.
And say?
Oh yeah, we have definitely people like that.
Correct. There are a lot of people like that. Okay, just to be aware.
They also had their own endpoint.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
The Midrash tells the story. Amru, they said, Kisha'ala Hadrianus, when some Hadrian, I don't know which Hadrian it is, went up, Ma'alat Chamat Gerar. He went up to the elevation of Chamat Gerar. Matza Ktana Achat Bat Yisrael Al Ma'ale Shein Chamat Gerar. So he found some young Jewish girl, young Jewish kid, on a pillar. Amar la mativech. He says, "Who are you? What are you? Mativech."
What's your
name? I didn't even realize this. Mativech. What is he asking?
Who are you?
Not who are you.
What?
What?
Yeah.
It's the same question I asked you. What are you? Mativech. What are you? And what is the answer? Tivech tet yud bechav.
Tivech.
Tivech is your nature. What is your nature?
No, yes. It
doesn't matter. What's Tivech is what are you? It's not what are you good. What Tivech is what's your nature? What are you? You know what she said? Bat Yisrael ani.
Huh.
Right. Which didn't she say in the time of the Midrash?
Yehudi.
Right. Yehudi. It's a very fascinating question when that became our nature, our identity. There's no such thing. Bat Yisrael. I'm a Bat Yisrael. Miyad, immediately says in Midrash, Yarad Hadrianus mina karon v'ishtachavala. Hadrianus got off the wagon and bowed down to her. Ka'asu alav kol gudolei malchut. So everybody got mad at him. What are you doing? Why do they said, "Ma ra'ita shebazita atzmecha v'tishtachavel b'zuya"? What are you bowing down to this young girl? To this, it says she mitunefet umiluchlechet.
Right, this dirty Jew.
This dirty Jew. It's not just that. It's the dirty Jew.
Yeah.
Amar lahem shotim, you fools, he says to them. Halo kol haumot atidin lihishtachavot lahem. All of the nations of the world will one day bow down to them. As it says, Ko amar Hashem goel Yisrael kedosho, livzo nefesh limteiv goel ebed moshlim malachim yiru vekamu.
Right, you think Adrian was quoting...
What's the idea of the Midrash? So what's the idea of the Midrash? Did it really happen? Who knows? Did Adrian really bow down to some poor Jewish girl?
I can't imagine.
Probably not. But what are the Midrash trying to say?
When you behave like you're supposed to behave.
That's exactly
she
right.
She wasn't doing anything.
But her nature, mativei.
Nature, when you're
her essence,
proud of who you are.
When you're an essence, when you're a Jewish person. Bat Yisrael oni.
When you love your essence.
That's right. Bat Yisrael. When your identity
becomes you.
Okay? That's our relationship with the nations of the world. That's one. Next. He'emircha. One second. Very good. Et Hashem he'emircha. We said, he'emarta hayom. So we learned the Rashi. There's a very famous Gemara about that. He'emarta. How do we designate one to the other? Says the Gemara. You might have heard this Gemara before. You don't have it. It's from Brachot Davav Amud Aleph. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rav Chia bar Abin said the following: Hani tefillin demari alma maktibahu. We know what's an art tefillin. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay, so that's Hashem. We are Ma'ami Reinu. We designate ourselves to God. What's in God's tefillin? Now you're asking an interesting question. Yeah, very good. Amar le, he said to him, "Umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz." You saw that?
You're right. You told us all.
Darn.
Yes.
I don't feel bad. Review is good. What's that in? It says, "Umi mishtabeach kudsha brichu b'shvachayu Yisrael." That's how God is praised through the praise of Israel. He says, "Yes, in dichtiv," because it says, "Et Hashem he'emarta hayom." And this idea of he'emarta is God describes himself through you. You describe yourself through God, and God describes himself through you. The thing that got me thinking was, could you imagine the President of the United States or whatever summons the Israeli ambassador? And instead of looking like he's supposed to be American, how does he look?
Jewish.
Can you imagine a Torah Chaim guy showing up, you know, with the tefillin on, right?
As an Israeli ambassador?
What?
As an Israeli ambassador?
Why would you wear tefillin? Why wouldn't you? Isn't that our tiferet, the shame of the tiferet? The idea that we don't nowadays is something that's missing to us. Ah, but if we were? What's that? But if we were? It would take a long time for us to be on that madriga, but if we were? If we weren't embarrassed about who we were, but if we saw our religious identity as core to who we are and something to be proud of and to promote, you see only in nationalistic terms, but
no,
think about it in spiritual terms.
Lahavdil,
lahavdil, a billion havdalot, lahavdil, a billion havdalot, mamash. When the Dalai Lama shows up in Washington D.C. and is invited to the White House,
exactly.
How do they react to him? How do they relate to him?
Very respectfully.
What?
Very respectfully.
Very respectfully. Here's a spiritual person who represents this idea of serenity, who represents spirituality, and it's like l'havdil a gazillion havdalot. But why aren't we like that? Instead we represent our nation like all the other nations, and we dress like every other nation, and we're aggressive like every other nation.
We haven't accepted
our identity.
We have not yet accepted our identity. Correct.
Our responsibilities.
Correct.
Wait a minute, but look at you. You dress regularly like everybody else. But when you went to the White House, you wore your yarmulke. Dressed the same way you always dress, even among Jews. If I would go to the White House, I would wear my headscarf.
Right.
I'm saying, like, we don't dress... You're you can't criticize that we don't dress
I'm criticizing me.
Uniquely.
I'm also criticizing
Listen,
me.
You can't criticize that we don't dress uniquely in front of everybody else if among ourselves we also don't dress uniquely.
We do dress
some uniquely.
Yep.
It
is something unique.
But I'm saying, like, that's right. Okay, is so as uniquely, so let me take it the next step. You're criticizing that we don't present who we really are to the world. We do.
I said we lack a proper sense of identity. We all suffer from the sense of identity.
Why is that not true?
You only wear that because of your religion. You don't wear that because of your national identity.
For me, it's one and the same.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
You wore that before you were Israeli.
Not much.
You were, whatever, the shade you mean, whatever.
Right.
Interesting. I wore this before I was Israeli.
Okay.
Right? It's my religious identity. It's not my national identity. I didn't go to the White House as an Israeli.
Wait a minute, but you're in Israel because of your national identity. I was invited
to the White House as an American rabbi.
Right, but you are in Israel because of your religious and national identity, which to you is intertwined. So for you, there was no question about where you belong and where you should live. Because you belong to a nation, that's why you live in Israel.
That's one of the reasons why this curriculum is so important to me. I think a lot of the confusion.
That's right. Why
I moved, but I dress a certain way. My dress is not, the way I'm dressed is not Israeli, is it? Necessarily?
What is an Israeli dress?
So you asked an interesting, fascinating question.
Right,
what does it mean to dress Israeli?
To create secular sheep.
No, I don't know. No, 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 no.
T-shirt and jeans.
I don't know the answer to that question. Is there such a thing?
Israel's a Western country.
Should it be?
Why not? There's something wrong with it.
Really?
Really.
That who determines how you dress?
Vote.
Absolutely not.
No, it doesn't.
Absolutely
vote
not.
Does.
It'd be close.
Didn't you see The Devil Wears Prada?
That's right. That's absolutely what I was thinking.
That scene where she talks about how you wear is determined
you wear
a year and a half before by the
halavai. We're like 8 years behind.
Yeah, we're
excuse me. Misala, go take the clothes that I just took out. That Tammy brought. Go take those out for a second. They're in the closet. In the closet. Okay? Go take them out.
I was just going to say... Even in India, Johnny says when he goes into the office, the women go dressed in Indian clothes.
Yes. So I'm dressing up for Purim, maybe,
cool.
Indian clothes.
Cool.
When you see an Indian
wow.
dressed in Indian clothes, you know what you're dealing with. What? Muslims also. Jews?
No.
I have this experience.
But again, we have identifying things. If you see a food
No, we don't.
Yes.
Charedim are better at it than us. At least in their religious sense, not in their national sense.
I have all these parents.
The Charedim, their dress is not Jewish. Their dress is ancient European, Polish.
But they made it Jewish.
In Tel Aviv or London or wherever you are, dress the way you are. You are a religious Jew. They wouldn't know if you're Israeli or not Israeli, but...
That's the point. They would know my religion. They would not know my nationality. Yeah, that's my point.
And I want to blend in.
Because we want to blend in, as opposed to stand out. Yes.
No, you're not
Excuse
blending.
Me.
You
There's only one way of Jewish dress.
You're not
this, what?
You're standing out as a Jew.
Looking at and I'm not standing out as Israeli.
You wouldn't know she's Jewish. You wouldn't know she's having her hair. She's just another person walking down the street. In Israel.
Only you would know because you have an eye attuned to it.
No.
You have an eye attuned.
Yes, with weight.
Because you have an eye attuned to it. I would know she's religious. Of course I would, but it's not because she's dressed particularly Jewishly. She's not dressed nationally, she's dressed religiously. What?
Maybe
in
the Charedim or not. Even though their dress is European from those.
We don't know, we haven't developed a sense of national dress. It doesn't, what is national dress? Because you associate it with a certain sense of beliefs.
Israeli.
What is national dress? National dress would be men dress wearing tefillin. You see a Jew, you know that's a Jewish man. That's not religious, right? That's ulashem utihila utiferet. And they see us and that we're proud and that I don't mind sticking out. Why don't I wear it? It's an interesting question why we don't wear it anymore. Men wear tzitzit. And we do it proudly instead of like hiding it in my pants. You know, I wear the garment on the outside. It's an outer garment. That's an Israeli dress. We don't do either of those things.
Some people do.
That's why I said. That's why I said. That's why I said.
Lazy.
Yeah, he's lazy. Go into baby dress. Walk around Torah Chaim. Just hang out there for a little bit. We'll see how they dress. It affects you. It's different. It influences you. Of course, I don't know if the Israeli government would be very happy sending them off to represent us around the world, but I don't know if that's the problem with the Israeli government.
They aren't very committed to the ideals of
Israel. Yeah, they're upset that the Israeli government abandoned the Jewish nation.
Right.
That's why they're angry.
But they do have,
what you're saying is the ideal, they do have the Israeli and Jewish to be salami.
Absolutely.
But
we're not. No, it's not the ideal. It's not, I wouldn't say it's not our ideal, it's our destiny.
Okay.
It will be.
But there's so many roadblocks.
Our job is to overcome those roadblocks. The first roadblock is identity. That's the first roadblock, the underlying identity. One more. I'm going to do one more point. Pastor Perek, let's go a little farther. Perek Chaf Zayin. Vayitzad Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael ha'amemor shamor et hakol ha'mitzvah shanuchim mitzavcha etchem hayom. By the way, just notice how many times in the parsha the word hayom appears. That we have talked about before a lot. Hayom. I command you today. V'haya, and it will be. V'yom asher ta'avru et ha'yarden, al ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lach. The day that you cross over the Yarden, v'akemot elecha avanim gidolot, v'sadata otam basid. You should make these huge rocks and plaster them with plaster. V'chatavta aleihen et kol divrei ha'Torah hazot pe'ovreka. When you pass through, you should write on them all of the words of the Torah. Why? Leman asher tavo el haaretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha eretz zavat chalav u'devash. So you come into the land flowing with milk and honey. Kasher diber Hashem elokei avotecha lach. So you go into as you walk into the land, you're going to take these huge stones. How many stones? 12 stones. It doesn't say, but there's 12 stones. Plaster them with plaster and write on the Torah on them. Moshe says it again. V'haya b'avrechem et yarden. Pasuk dalet. Takimu et ha'avanim ha'ela asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom b'har eval. You should put another set of stones in har eval. V'sadata otam basid. Plaster them with plaster. U'banit hasham mizbeach l'shem elokecha mizbeach avanim u'otanif aleihem barzel. You should make an altar at har eval. No metal. Why no metal? Right? We're a nation of peace, remember? Avanim shleimot tivneh et mizbeach Hashem elokecha. V'alit alav olot l'Hashem elokecha. You use whole stones, and you should put on olot offerings. V'zavachta shlamim v'achal tasham, and you should offer peace offerings, shlamim. V'samach l'fshanem alakacha, and you should be joyous. V'katavta al ha'avanim, and you should write on these stones. Et kol divrei ha'Torah hazot, write all the words of the Torah. Be'er, ba'er, heitev. Translate, what does ba'er heitev mean? Before you look at Rashi. Ba'er heitev.
Explained well.
It says well clarified.
Well clarified. Rashi. Ba'er heitev. B'shivim lashon. Ba'er heitev. 70 languages.
For who? Who's it for?
Moshe Rabbeinu, when he first began to tell the Torah, Be'er v'ardeinu, Yom Moshe, Be'er et ha'Torah hazot. Okay, what is Be'er et ha'Torah hazot? Rashi says, Pirsha lahem b'shivim lashon. 70 languages. Why in the world would we translate the Torah into 70 languages?
There's no room for misinterpretation
for everybody else.
It gets into a little
do we need the Torah translated into Swahili?
No, but the Swahilians do.
Oh. One second. Who was the Torah given to?
Given to us, but they need to understand it also.
Do they?
Yeah.
We promote the Torah to the nations of the world?
No. I think we do, but they're only obligated in the seven.
Maybe it's preparation.
Meaning?
What did you say?
Preparation for the future. Correct.
We're going to be dispersed.
For when we're dispersed? We wrote on the rocks. We went into Eretz Israel as preparation for when we get kicked out?
Maybe.
I'm going to tell you something even stranger. And we're going to finish with this. There's a machlok in the Midrash, which we haven't done before. I think. Who knows? Maybe we have. It's either this or the Tochacha. You know, if you really want to go through the Tochacha next year, let me know. No, thank you. Exactly. What does it mean to sadata otam basit, plaster it with plaster? So there's two opinions in the Midrash. One opinion is Rabbi Shimon. Okay? Plaster the rocks with plaster.
To make it then, smooth so you can write on it.
Then you can write on it. And and that makes sense, right?
Because the writing was the carving out of the plaster.
That's the way you envision it, right? You plaster with plaster and then you could write it in the plaster and then it hardens, and you have the whole Torah in the plaster. Sets. Beautiful. That's Rabbi Shimon. Says Rabbi Yehuda, which is like shocking. Rabbi Yehuda says, Al gabei avanim ktavuha, you should write the writing on the stones, because it says first bekataftal havanim, you write on the avanim. Ve'achar kach sadu otam basid.
Seal it in.
And then plaster it with plaster.
Like seal it in.
Cover
it up. Right. Amar la Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon. Lidvarecha, according to your words, heyach lamdu umot olam shaloto hazman Torah. How are the nations of the world supposed to learn the Torah? The whole point is to write the Torah in 70 languages, so everyone can see it. And then what do? White out, paint right over.
So that's the question.
How are they supposed to learn? One second. So you know what he says? Amar lahem. Bina Yeteira Natan Ben Makadosh Baruch Hu. He gave them a Bina Yeteira. The Shigru Notrayon Shalem. They sent their Notrayon, their scribes. The Kilfu Et Hasid. They peeled off the plaster. The Hisiuha. And they copied it over. And therefore, Zdvar Zen Nechtag Zardino. That's why their fate was sealed, because they had enough knowledge to know, find the rocks, peel off the plaster, and read the Torah. Now, you can take this any way you want, but the way I read this, are we supposed to teach them the Torah explicitly, or are we supposed to teach them the Torah implicitly? Are we supposed to be a nation among the nations, or are we supposed to be a nation to ourselves? And I believe, You can argue, but I believe Rabbi Shimon was saying, the Torah is written on us. We don't go out and proselytize. We don't go out and preach. But the Torah, even though it's inside of us, when we live in such a way, they see it upon us, and they look to us to bring God to them. It's not our job to teach them actually the words. It's our job to write the Torah on our rocks, cover it over, and have them look at us and see the Torah in us as a people. Because if we don't do our job properly, then you can teach them from here till tomorrow, but they're not going to learn anything. That's what an Am Segula is supposed to be. You know, I don't think, by the way, the whole Am, this nation thing, it's really like explicit. It's there in black and white. And it's there in the Midrash, Mativech. What are you? Bat Yisrael Anochi. And that's our responsibility, our job, to try to get our children to the point where they say, they don't see a distinction. Your son, I don't think he sees much of a distinction. By the way, crazy. Wasn't he in the video? Is it her son? Oh my goodness. In the video, the bar mitzvah?
Ori Marinberg's bar mitzvah video.
Did you see it?
He spoke.
It was like, I said to Rina, and I said,
Israeli accent.
He is so Israeli, your son. It's crazy. You know, beautifully. But ask him the question.
No, but
I'm serious. Ask him, see what he says.
I think there's something that exists within everybody at this table that is unique. We have all chosen to come to live in Israel, and we have chosen to choose the two ideas. Those out of Israel and those born in Israel haven't chosen, they haven't made a conscious choice to fuse.
I don't think it's fair to expect someone born here to choose it.
But right? I'm not saying they should, I'm saying that's why to them,
I don't know if we chose to fuse it, or in our understanding it's naturally fused, and therefore the natural place for us to be is here.
Either way you look at it, we're here, and we...
This is exactly...
Those that are not here, yeah, in Chutzlaret haven't fused it, and otherwise they wouldn't be here. As long as they're not here, they can excuse it, they can...
What'd you say?
They haven't acknowledged the fusion.
They haven't acknowledged the fusion, or haven't been made aware of it.
That's what I'm saying. And same thing with those in Israel, that the idea that there's even a separation, they've never had to think about it.
I think that's it, but that's the natural state. Why should you have to think about it? It's unnatural for there not to be a fusion. Right? It's unnatural for there to be not a fusion. It's natural for them to be one and the same. And when it's one and the same, when you see your spiritual identity and the actions that you take as an individual as a reflection of your national self, and not something external to it, then perhaps it becomes more natural to you, and something you understand as something that's part of your core identity, not something to be chosen not to be chosen, to be cast off, to do or not to do. How can you not do something if that's exactly who you are? One question of identity.
One Afghan interesting about the Midrash is that Hadrian had to ask her who she was. So she very clearly wasn't dressed outwardly as a Jew. He had to inquire what her identity was. And so what I get from Rabbi Yehuda also is the difference between the external manifestation of whether you're Jewish or not, or the internal. It doesn't have to be that one is better than the other, that you all have to, everybody has to wear it, except as an outer garment with their peyote flowing and linen trousers walking into the White House. It can also be a Jew, just with a kippah regard, dressed like an American, but behave internally as a Jew. This whole national dress and the whole we perceive ourselves or others perceive us, I think at the end, a Jew is some, I mean, obviously you have to be born Jewish, but it's in the essence of who you are. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to wear your religiosity on your sleeve all the time.
Again.
In order to get through the
world. After this whole discussion, all I hear, I understand what you're saying, I understand why you're saying it, and it doesn't matter if you wear the flowing linen, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, you keep using the term a Jew. And I think what you're referring to what I was talking about the whole time. But a Jew is a religious identity. It's not a national identity.
You're saying in terms of the Israeli ambassador standing in the White House.
Correct.
Who is a Jew. Who is a Jew. He represents Israel. He's a Jew. He might be from, I know, because I've worked with ambassadors who are very from.
Correct.
But in order for them to represent Israel in the best possible way and to be respected, they don't necessarily have to appear like the Dalai Lama in their national dress. And
why not?
But they don't have to.
Why not?
That's not what we're about. We're because not about broadcasting
that's
ourselves.
That's not what we are.
But my point exactly is I think that over time we've lost that sense. Absolutely. The picture in your mind, David HaMelech. Was he wearing tefillin?
But how was everybody
else
dressed?
Did he have tzitzit? Did he have tzitzit?
Do men walk around in long robes?
Was he clean shaven? Forget the long robes. I asked you three questions. Was he wearing tzitzit?
Probably not.
No?
Probably yes, he was. Okay.
Was he wearing tefillin?
Probably.
Was he clean shaven?
Probably not.
Why not? They know how to shave. Why not? Because he dressed how a Jew was supposed to dress. He dressed how everybody dressed. And when he went to the king of Moab, because he ran away, he didn't go shave because he went to the king of Moab.
Was the king of Moab clean shaven?
I'm sure he was.
The question is, was it relevant to that?
The reason we don't shave is because we're not supposed to emulate the nations of the world. That was last week. Absolutely. A lot of our dress was to be specifically distinct from the pagans. It was a sense of distinction. The way you look, why does the Dalai Lama walk into the White House? Why doesn't he put on a suit and tie? He has no cover for Barack Obama.
But that isn't how he is.
What? Exactly. You just answered you just made my point exactly. That isn't how he is. When we are that way, then it will be totally natural for us to be proud of who we are and not try to have to be like somebody else. And again, the point is not Jewish. Think about it in terms of a nation.
Identifiable
nation. Not in religion. It's a mind shift. We'll get there.
I went to get my
it's our destiny.
My driver's license renewed and I was going to